pretty experienced and felt, and I appreciate you taking time out of your schedules, you preachers that are so busy. I appreciate your support and your prayers, and then each family member, each mom, dad, young adult, teenager, I appreciate you taking time out of your family life to be here and to be at camp meeting. And sometimes we don't know how to appreciate camp meeting services and jubilees and revivals until they're taken from us. You'd appreciate this a lot more if you'd been in the hospital for 3 or 4 months. All of a sudden you had the privilege to get out again. We sometimes forget how easily we forget the privilege it is to have the health and the strength and the ability to go be at God's house with God's people. And we appreciate your attendance here tonight. We do not take it for granted. We're thankful for you coming. And we appreciate you being here so very much. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. While you're turning, I will remind you that we are leaving for Israel on November the 5th. If you would like to go, we got in some of the brochures today, and they're here. You can pick one up after the service. And then the tape we ran out of, The Mystery of Michael Jackson, those came in today. And the massacre tape, The Massacre at McDonald's, they're supposed to be on the bus in here in the morning. So we hope we'll get all that to you that you would like to have while we're here. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, if we had to pick out a verse to highlight or to be a text verse, we'd like to use that 17th verse. 17 in the Word of God is the number of victory. And that 17th verse says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The victory was available for everyone. I don't know why we've been burdened the way we have this week to deal with the believer. I love camp meetings. I love revival services. I love to be with God's people. But at the same time, I'm aware of the fact that these are definitely the last days. We're in strange warfares. I don't know if we'll be able to tomorrow night or not, but God's burden is about a special message on the last days. I hope that you'll be here tomorrow night. Come praying, come believing. But we're in the moments where men's hearts are literally failing them for fear. That's no longer a figure of speech. That's a fact of life. I cannot survive in my own intellect. I cannot survive in my own strength any more than you can survive in your own intellect and your own strength. I've seen men trying to find a place in this world, a little prestige, a little happiness. I've worked with men. I worked on public jobs until I was 27 years of age. I owned my own business. I worked in Charlotte for 3 years as an accountant with Kraft Foods. I worked with Seal Test. I had to work with computers and costing. And I've worked in construction. I've worked in public relations. I was employed by North Carolina Blue Cross and Blue Shield as an industrial representative for the western part of our state. I've worked under contract for the federal government, Model Cities Program, setting up health care programs. I've seen people from every walk of life. I've worked on a septic tank truck. I've installed septic tanks. I've worked in the muck and the mire of human refuge. I've driven a truck. I've carpentered. I've done just about every kind of job that's available for people to do. And it's amazing how many unhappy people you find in this world. I've seen people at the bottom and I've seen people at the top. I've seen Christian people forget their calling, forget their walk, and sell it out for a little bowl of pottage on this earth. Saddest thing that ever happened, we were talking about the experience of the Holy Ghost last night and dealing with the relationship and the comparative analysis to the dew and the manna. Sad thing for believers to ever trade off is dew experience, the Holy Ghost anointing. And do away with the heavenly bread while you go to the supermarket of the world and try to buy you some bread. My, what a sad day that is. I've seen men at 10 o'clock in the morning have to stop the automobile and go in the ABC store and buy a pint to last them to a 3-cocktail lunch hour could come. I've seen men so desperate for acceptance and so desperate to be thought well of in the community that they would go down to the bank and borrow their membership dues for the country club, knowing that they could not afford to be a member of the country club. But I've sat with them while they sweated out another loan application and tried to refinance everything again so they could take a check over to the country club and pay the treasurer of the country club another year's dues so they could say, I belong to the country club. But yet see those same people that had the right kind of car, the right kind of house with the right kind of address, belonged to all the right clubs and went to all the right social functions. And the privacy of just one-on-one turned to you and began to weep and say, I'm miserable and don't have a thing to live for. We're living in that day.
Yes.
And men are, they're reaching out desperately as never before to try to find a little happiness and a little joy. It might be in political power. It might be in social prestige. It might even be in the church to be thought well of that I've given myself. But what we've got to understand tonight is that we need to get back to the basics. We've had all the junk. We've played all the games. We've played tap hands with the tar babies of this world long enough.
Amen.
And what we need to do over at the church more than we need to do anything else is to get all the isms out of our way, get all the schisms out of our way, and look up towards heaven with a broken, contrite heart and say, God, it's no one else but me. I need you to do something for me. They've seen us testify on Wednesday night and live like the devil on Thursday. They've seen us get up and say we're this and that, but yet on Sunday night, that little glow from the television's on at our house and we don't go to church.
Go ahead. Amen.
They hear us talk about who we are and what we are, but the truth of the matter is, friends, we're not bearing much fruit of being a supernatural people that's supposed to be throwing life rings in a dying age. And the problem, I feel, is that we've lost it in our worship. Since March 1975, I've been burdened about revival. That's when I got right with the Lord. That's when God broke me in Chicago, Illinois. And I've been burdened about revival. In March 1985, I will celebrate my 10th year in the ministry. And the difference, and you think of this now, I'm just talking about a short period of time here, 9 years. I've got a father that's been preaching almost 50 years.
Yes.
But I'm talking about in 9 years, what I have seen and experienced, Brother Gene, from the pulpit in that short little time as a rookie that I've been preaching is the difference in daylight and darkness.
Amen.
And what I'm experiencing in 1984, what I have seen from the pulpit and traveling since January of this year to August of this year is frightening, because it's compounded a daylight and darkness even this year.
Right.
Well, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening, friends. The light is leaving the land.
Amen.
And when the light leaves, darkness rushes in. And you know what the worst kind of darkness is? It's the darkness that comes after you've had light.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
Take a flashlight and flash it in your eyes. And it dilates the pupil. And then pull it away. And for a few seconds you experience a temporary blindness. The reason is you went from bright light to no light. And you can't even adjust back to a medium light after that. Walk out of a building on a bright, sunshiny day. You come out and you'll find the effects that you find yourself squinching up against the light. But you leave that light and go into that building and you don't squinch. You stand there for a minute and let your eyes adjust, because you can't even see to walk. You've come out of light inside a building and it temporarily affects your vision.
Yes.
Now, we've had light over at the church.
Yep.
Over at your church and over at my church, we've had light.
Yes.
For 32 years, back to Bethel Camp has had light.
Yes.
I drove up here on Monday afternoon, and my heart emotion was to get in the car and to leave and not come back. Because I know that I'm not worthy to preach under this arbor where some of the greatest men of God have walked under here and preached to you people. I'm talking about light. I can't hold a candle to those men. Giants for our Savior. But not only under this arbor, think of your local churches and how many giants have been through the doors and visited the congregation of your local church. Not only the giants, but think about the faithful men that have labored. Maybe he wasn't an R.G. Lee. Maybe he wasn't a Dr. James Stewart. Maybe he wasn't an Arthur Blackburn. But maybe he was faithful week after week to just stand there flat-footed and preach the book without favor.
Amen.
Huh? Light. Light. And you see, our Father in heaven, He doesn't look on men like we look on men. We build, I do, now I'll just have to come back. I build boxes for preachers. Now we're just guilty as we can be. And we get to elevate somebody in our eyes and the first time they make a mistake, you know, our whole little religious world comes crumbling down.
Amen.
Huh? But Jesus, He doesn't do that. I got news for you. Did you know God doesn't have any big preachers or little preachers? God doesn't have any big churches or little churches. God doesn't have any big works or little works. He's just got servants that are faithful. That's how He sees us. But when I read this passage of Scripture, I see that in that 17th verse, some saw Him and worshipped. But some saw Him and doubted. And where we're sitting tonight under this arbor is we're sitting at the crossroads spiritually. I guess you could call this message Worship or doubt? I guess you could call this message fish or cut bait. Huh? It sort of reminds me of a story I heard about a fellow that kept exceeding his limit of fish. The game warden became highly suspicious of his tremendous success fishing. And so he said, I'm going to go out with you on your next trip in the lake. He got in the boat and went out with him. They got out to his favorite fishing hole. The old man reached under the seat and pulled out a stick of dynamite. Lit the fuse on it, waited a second, and dropped it over the side. Explosion went off, and all these beautiful fish floated to the top. He began to net them and bring them in. The game warden said, I hope you know that's illegal. He said, I hope you know I'm going to have to arrest you. He said, I suspicion this is what you were doing, but now I know for sure. That old man just reached under the seat and pulled out another stick of dynamite. And he lit it and he held it till the fuse was almost gone. And then he handed it to the game warden. He said, are you going to fish or are you going to talk all day? I believe I'd fish too. Do you know what God does to each of us in a kind, sweet, loving way, but almost without any reservation, just as emphatically as that old man handed him a stick of dynamite? God gives you opportunity to worship.
Amen.
Or to play church. Did you know that? He does that. And before you can worship, you've got to see Him.
Amen.
You've got to behold Him. You've got to reverence Him. Jesus said, look unto Me. Come unto Me. Learn of Me. Abide in Me. Follow Me. Lovest thou Me. Watch with Me. Jesus said, each one of those. And you must, my friend, see the light of the gospel that was extended into your personal life. It's no accident that you sit here tonight.
Right. No. Amen.
The very fact that you're in this service tonight is the fact that somewhere in your life you have been exposed to the light of the gospel.
Amen. Yeah.
You knew what we were. You knew we wasn't having a square dance up here tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
You knew we weren't clogging.
Yeah.
You knew we wasn't jamming and getting down.
Yeah.
You knew this wasn't an auction up here. What am I bidding now? You knew we wasn't up here having a cockfight or something. Huh? You knew we wasn't up here selling cars. You knew we wasn't up here selling real estate. I mean, you had a rough idea. Some of you, you look like you wish you'd stayed home, but I mean, you had at least when you left the house a rough idea of what was going to happen. I'm going to some kind of religious service.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Then, if you had a little bit of an understanding what was going to happen, then of your own free will, you opened your car door and carried your carcass in here and sat it down on a pew, folded your arms, slid down the back of your neck and said, bless me if you can. Brother Ralph, you do your deal and we'll do our little deal, and as soon as you get your deal over with, we can go to house and catch the end of dynasty.
Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead,
brother.
Go ahead.
Good
preacher. Good,
brother.
Edmund!
I think I better store that one. I believe I'm only needed.
Amen.
I'll bring my Amen tape tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I get to some pretty dry places. I have to can my amens and just punch them in, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, we've got a working knowledge of why we at least approached this property, got out of the car and sat on a pew. We're going to go to a religious service. But many of us came here tonight. You know what our burden was when we arrived here tonight? Oh, we're going to hear some good singing. We're going to watch all them funny people shout.
Look at that guy.
Man, he's a nut. Well, I'm glad they don't do that over at my church. That'd scare our preacher to death.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, we've got all kinds of motives. Some of you are here tonight because somebody bugged you to come and you had to be nice. You know, well, I've really got things to do and, well, I really want you to go, you know. Well, and so finally to shut them up, you said, I'll come Thursday night. But as far as worship was concerned, wait a minute. Wait a minute, ma'am, the only reason you came is your husband came. Go ahead. I mean, sir, the only reason you came was your wife said when you got home from work, are we going to camp meeting? And if she hadn't mentioned it, you could be comfortably in your recliner. Eating ball peanuts and drinking a Pepsi. Turning that satellite dish around there so you can get all 105 channels. I'm talking about, friends, we're locked up in our own little game. And we can't ever get past worship.
That's right.
If I had to summarize revival in one word, after preaching for 10 years and praying about revival for 10, I'd have to come out with one little word, lordship.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. If he's Lord, then you're in the revival business.
Amen.
See, Lord of your life, Lord of your home, Lord of your job, Lord of your future, Lord of your dreams, Lord of your plans. See, Lord of your church. Well, just so he does it our way.
Go ahead.
I mean, we are so spiritual and have begotten such great wisdom and power that we're now telling God, you can send revival, that'll be fine with us, but either do it in the spring or the fall. We have one each year, whether we need it or not.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can send revival, but do it Wednesday through Sunday. Preferably Friday through Sunday.
Go ahead.
And really, if you really want to be good to us, Lord, could you do it on Sunday morning? We always let the preacher up at 17 minutes to 12, and we give him those 17 minutes every week. And we would really prefer you doing it by 12 o'clock, because if you don't, the Presbyterians and the Methodists sure do ruin the salad bar for us Baptists. And if you're not through by 12 o'clock, preacher, we'll kindly let you know we're through with you at 12 o'clock. Preach it, preacher. Yes, that's good preaching. Let's God if he is here, you'd get him. Amen, that's it. That's it, preacher. Boy, just preach it, preacher. That's the way I like it straight. We can take it. It's what I like, that straight preaching. What time is it, honey? It's 12:05. He ain't ever going to shut up. Hey, man, preacher, that's good preaching. What time is it, honey? 12:02. Well, he better wind this thing down. Hey, man, preacher, that's good preaching. What time is it, honey? 12:00. Hey, we better slip out, because if we don't, we'll get caught out there in the parking lot, and we won't get over to the steer in time to get some of them good steaks before they're all gone. Let's just slip on out. When he walks over to the other side, we'll just grab this out. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, if he can't say it in 17 minutes, then he must be repeating himself.
Come on.
I can't spend my life over here all day. I got to go decorate Aunt Susie's grave. I want you to be here tomorrow night, friends. I believe there'll be plenty of seating available. If you want to go with God, then somewhere you're going to have to get alone with this Jesus and worship Him. You're going to have to discipline your rotten, corrupt flesh and beg a holy God to step upon the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and to break your back and break your will and crush everything in you that's unlike Him and conform you to His image. That you might worship Him. I'm not talking about a Sunday school quarterly. I'm not talking about a program where you're presented a new Bible. I'm not talking about Holy Communion. I'm not talking of catechisms. I'm not talking of rosaries. I'm not talking of confessional booths. I'm talking about an old, rotten, hell-deserving piece of clay that walked under the saving grace of a holy God and experienced mercy, that you might humble yourself in front of this God and worship Him for what He is, your Savior and your Redeemer. You'll be surprised how your life will turn around and your home will turn around, your church will turn around when you begin to worship. And let me just say right here, what's hindering a lot of your worship is your hiccup music that you blamed on God and said we got to have rock music in the church to keep our young people. I didn't stutter. It's an insult to the integrity of a thrice holy God and to the office work of the blessed third person of the Godhead to think you got to bring a rock beat into the house of God and pass it off as, I hate to even say gospel rock, that irks something within my spirit. But there's no worship in that. There's no comfort in there. There's no sustenance in there. How would you like to be lying on your deathbed, getting ready to cross Jordan, and one of these hell-bent groups like Petra that claim to be a gospel rock group be jamming down by your bed?
Go ahead.
Huh?
Amen.
How'd you like to be wading through hell by the acre and the jam band to get down by you while you're wading through hell by the acre?
Amen.
The devil is a trickster. He's an ensnarer. He's one that'll rob you of your most precious relationship, and he'll come and titillate your wicked flesh and pass it off for worship. You can sing about footprints in the snow and a log cabin and mama, and that ain't worship.
That's right. Amen.
That ain't worship. That's sentimental, but it ain't worship. And you'll get a little tear to run down the cheek, and bless God, you'll swell up like a bullfrog and look like a bulldog crying and just all warped up and weeping, and that ain't worship. You're crying because you loved your mama. You're crying over memories. But that's not worship. Worship is seeing Him for what He is. And until we get back to worship, we're out of business over at the house of God. We're going to go home on memories of what we used to be rather than what we are. You must open your eyes to the light that God gives. Now listen, we're able to see tonight because of light. There are light fixtures in this arbor, and the light is emitted from those fixtures, and it goes down and reflects on faces and objects. And what you see is the reflection. That light ray bounces on that object, bounces back to your eye, and then it goes to the retina, and it's like a camera, receives that reflected image and sends it down through the optical nerve into the brain, and you get a picture reception. But you can't see without the light. The objects are there. The inanimate objects are there. The people are there. But with no light, there's no vision, because there's nothing to reflect it. And without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, there can be no vision in this world in which you're living. You'll stumble in darkness, just as the world is stumbling in darkness tonight. The Soviet Union put two big ships through the Suez Canal today. We had an American ship tagging one of them. There's a tremendous buildup in the Red Sea of the superpowers. The war still rages between Iraq and Iran. The Russian troops are still in Afghanistan. Central America's still on fire. They're talking already about the possible war again in South Korea. And my friend, they're dealing now with the revolution that's taking place in the Philippines, Central America, South America, the Caribbean islands, Africa's in war, Libya, Sudan, Chad, North Yemen, South Yemen, all of these around the world tonight. There's everything but what they're crying, peace and safety.
Amen.
We're getting ready to go home. Jesus is getting ready to come. But when you're not worshiping, you're not in the light.
Amen.
And you see the darkness rather than the light.
Yes.
And you can spend your Christian experience on the negative side rather on the positive side of knowing in whom I have believed.
Yes.
I'm not nervous tonight about the world situation. I don't have my head in the sand. I try to study. I try to be knowledgeable. This is an election year. I'm going to try to vote my conscience. I'm going to try to vote as I can do research in every area of government and from the local government offices in my city and county all the way to the White House. I'm going to try to vote the best I can as a Christian, even though some of the people I'll vote for aren't saved people. But I'll pick the best out of the two evils. The one that'll at least,
amen,
I feel do the best job. I'm not going to be so dumb to be an ostrich and put my head under the sands. I'm in this world. I'm not of this world. But I have a moral Christian responsibility,
amen,
to occupy till He comes after me.
Amen.
And you've got the same responsibility to vote for the Reagan of your choice, too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You say, Brother Ralph, you're not supposed to mix religion and politics. I didn't. I just told you who to vote for. Hey, if it's all right for Jesse Jackson, it's all right for Ralph Sexton. If it's all right for the Catholic bishops, it's all right for Ralph Sexton. You've got a responsibility, my friend, to understand the day and hour in which we're living are the last moments of the last days, and we better wake up to what we're facing worldwide.
Amen.
You better see the light politically.
Amen.
Jesus said he's the light of the world.
Yes.
His face is the light of heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verses 4 and 5, you can read about his very countenance will be the illumination of heaven.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Won't be any sun there, won't be any moon there, because he'll outshine them all.
Amen.
That's light I'm talking about. There shall be no light there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That crowd here on earth will have in their foreheads the name of the beast. But I'll have the name of the Christ in my forehead. We worship what we see. Now that just happens. If you see power and you're not where you need to be, you'll worship power. Some people worship prestige. Some people worship peers. Now listen to me right here. I love you and I want to help you. If you try to be something other than yourself after you're saved, you're going to mess up. Any one of these preachers here, they can't be somebody else. They can't act like some other. They can't try to be Dr. J. Harold Smith.
Right.
They can't try to be Dr. Percy Ray.
No. Right.
They can't try to be Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr.
Right.
Dr. Jack Hiles. They've got to be themselves.
Right. Amen.
And the first time they start trying to be someone else, act like someone else, talk like someone else, and they're going to mess up.
Yes.
It never fails. But here's what happens. If you're not careful as a layman, as a Christian, you'll try to act like some other Christian.
Amen.
Now, I've gone to churches where every lady in the church shouted the same way.
Go ahead.
Now, you listen to me right here. I want to help you. I'm sincere in what I say. But they all shout the same way. All the men shout the same way. Have the same mannerisms. Have the same expressions. Use the same words. Now, here's what I know. I know they're all individuals. And I know they're all different. And what you need to do is just be yourself.
Amen.
You just need to come and listen, I've seen, my dad's got an associate pastor up home. He was a con artist in the Navy, a hood. Been in every kind of trouble. Listen, when he got saved and went back in the Navy, when they'd land like in a port of call in the Caribbean, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, they'd have the admiral of his ship, the captain of his ship, they'd land there, they'd have the presidential suite there in the big hotel. He was a seaman, and they rented the whole floor above the captain because he had such a gambling ring on board ship, had men's paydays tied up for 4, 6, and 8 years in advance. Huh? And when he got saved, he went back to Norfolk, Virginia to start another tour of duty. And he said, whatever you owe me is forgiven. Just forget it. And you know what? Payday came. They came by and tried to give him their paychecks. They thought he was on another con. Thought he was trying to pull something. And he said, I don't want your money. He said, I got saved. And they just couldn't believe it.
Amen.
And the time he used to spend gambling, he spent memorizing scriptures.
Amen.
He started memorizing the Word of God for strength.
Yeah.
He's a good man. He's a spiritual man. He loves God. And boy, I love to watch him shout. When God gets on him, he really gets blessed. You know how I can tell he's really in the honey bucket? He just sort of looks back and gets glassy-eyed. That's when he's really shouting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really when he's really tearing up a corn.
Yeah.
Now, what are you saying, Brother Ralph?
Amen.
Well, you just stay right here. There's another man in my home church. When he gets blessed, when he really gets in the glory bucket, when he really shouts, you know how I can tell he's really in it? I can hear him laughing all the way to the platform.
Yeah.
Just a giggling.
Go ahead.
And I know he's in.
Amen.
We got some that cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some that run, gets on their feet. They don't know what else to do. Get up, take off.
Yeah.
That's right. Got some will get out a handkerchief and sort of wave things around, you know. Oh, yeah.
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 What are you talking about, Brother Al? I'm talking about being yourself.
Amen.
I've seen a crier and a shouter sit on the same pew, preaching the same Jesus, and both of them in their own different ways. And maybe right in the middle, some fellow with his arms crossed, just smiling, thinking about how wonderful Jesus is.
Amen.
Don't you worship Him out of peer pressure. You worship Him from your heart.
Amen.
If you got the can't help it, it'll come out all over you. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I've tried to sit on it sometimes, and it just makes it worse when it goes off. You'd have been a lot better off let a few amens out and relieve the pressure. But you let it tank up and tank up, and next thing it's really on. But you've got to understand that it's that worship individually, not because she does it this way or he does it that way. That's not spirituality.
Amen.
And that's not a judge of spirituality either. What judge of spirituality is when you're through shouting how you walk on Monday. You see, we need to understand some things about worship. And we're not going to be what we need to be until we see Him and worship Him. Amen. Worship or doubt. Now, God saved you, and yet some are doubting. Being filled with the Spirit is the largest part of our spiritual growth. Because we know when we're saved, the Spirit of God indwells us.
Yes, amen.
He's the keeper of the house. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. After salvation, friends, there is a wonderful time in your life because He's the one that's indwelt you at salvation. He keeps you. He manages the new tabernacle that you've been given. This old flesh has been covered by the blood. The new management's in there.
Amen.
It's sort of like moving. You had an old tabernacle that's full of trash and dirt. The basement was cluttered. The attic was full of trash. But when the Holy Ghost came by, He walked out in the front yard of your soul and He put up a sign under new management. He walked inside and started throwing the trash out.
Yeah.
Went to every room, went to the basement, went to the attic. Then He went in there with red blood and started painting everything.
Yeah.
And as He started painting, it dried whiter than snow.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't understand it, but where there was an old black smutty wall of a heart, that red blood turned it white. And He sits in there controlling, under new management, the property on the inside. But there is a filling experience. And I'm not talking about a bunch of spooky stuff. I'm not talking about handling snakes and drinking poison, juggling chimney tops and walking on cut glass. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about hocus pocus. I'm talking about bearing fruit. I'm talking about when the cow steps on your foot when you're milking.
Yeah. Amen.
You ever had a cow step on your foot?
Yeah.
It makes you want to do ungodly things. It does. Now, there's no nice way to get around that. It does. It does. But I'm talking about bearing fruit. And the old-timers up in the mountains, they used to sing a verse of that old-time religion. I used to think about it, make you call the old cow honey. Because they know there's nothing much more contrary than when you're trying to milk on a real cold morning and your hands are frostbit and you can't close them, and she'll come right in there and smack you with that tail and it's full of cuckleburrs. It's bad enough because it's cold, but then they have all them cuckleburrs raked across there. And then you get mad and slap at her, and she backs up and steps in the bucket.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? But they say if you get some of this, it'll make you call the old cow honey.
Yeah.
Hey, It'll stop all that foolishness at the breakfast table.
Amen.
If your poor wife couldn't understand your grunts, your growls,
you're there.
How many eggs you want, honey? You want another piece of toast?
Don't talk to me. I have my coffee.
Huh? I don't care what you say on Wednesday night. Show me a little in the morning.
Amen.
There'll be plenty of room tomorrow night. Come get you a good seat close to the front. Do you know what I'm talking about? Tell your daddy to pass the salt.
Tell your mother if she wants the salt, come down here and get it.
I'm talking about worship. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Go ahead. Oh, you're there. Just keep on.
Hey. Hang loose. The family doesn't have to ask if you're upset, big boy.
Amen.
I'm old man, do what I want to do.
We know that. Macho man. I could tell the way you rattled the windows this afternoon that you was ill. Wham! Did you have a good day at work today, honey? That lunchbox comes across the kitchen. Wham!
One more day over and I won't punch him out.
Go ahead.
Little old family's bowed up, hunkering down. I don't have it no more, Daddy. Don't have it no more. Huh?
Yeah.
Mama, they don't... running everywhere. Get out of here. Mama's mad. Bolo.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm talking about worship.
Yeah. Amen.
Then we hop in the car, fuss all the way over here.
You're
going to make us late again tonight, you old dummy. We're always waiting on you. You're always cow's tail. Can't you do nothing right? Poor little old youngin' so nervous, done tied his shoelaces together and got his shirt on backwards, sitting there twitching.
Hit me!
Huh? Then we get out to camp. How you? Good to see you. Come right this way, darling. Come on in. Yeah, it's such a joy to be over here. Come on in, oh yeah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love... Shut up, dummy. How I love Jesus.
Amen.
You're there.
I'm talking about worship. You say, Brother Ralph, how do you know that? Oh, I've gone visiting too many times.
Yeah. Amen.
Pull up in the driveway and get out of the car and listen. You can hear them inside. I'll break your face, you old ugly thing. I'd like to see you try it. I'll run you back to your mama where I found you. I don't know why I brought you home anyway. It's a jawing and a fussing and a yelling. Huh? And then you get up there. Who is it? You youngins, quit that beating in there. When the youngins goes, peeps out. Oh, my mom, it's the preacher. Oh, my God.
Amen.
Runs in there, tries to get them shorts off. Put them magazines under there. Tries to hide that pack of cigarettes over there. Push them magazines under there. Runs back over there. Dad keeps easing over to put that spit can under the couch.
Come on,
this
preacher.
I'm talking about worship.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You think that doesn't have a thing to do with church? It's got everything to do with church.
Yes, it does.
Everything.
Yeah.
Amen.
My house isn't always clean.
Right. No.
My wife and I don't always get along.
No.
I've never asked her for a divorce.
Yeah.
I've wanted to kill her a few times. Why, you needn't lie about it. You've had the same kind of thoughts. You're the biggest bunch of liars I've ever preached to. You might as well get honest. We're rotten. We're rotten. Well, how are we going to worship? We can't unless we get the light on us.
Amen.
We've got to get back to seeing Him supreme.
Amen.
I've got to look at my wife through His eyes. Do you hear what I said? If my wife didn't look at me through the Father's eye, when I walk through the door, I'll leave here Saturday night. I'll get home around 2:30 in the morning, and I'll pack, change clothes, and have to leave again at 6 to get to the next city to start the next meeting. I'll be home about 3.5 hours. What she ought to do is blow me away when I walk through the door. Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, Richard.
But instead, she'll have clean clothes waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave a dirty suitcase and pick up a clean one.
Amen.
Huh? How easy it is to find each other's faults. It don't take you long to look at me and see that I make mistakes. But what we need to start doing over at the house of God, over at our family houses, and in our, we need to start looking at each other through Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
When you start doing that, then the love of Christ hides a multitude of sins.
Amen.
But Paul, I love you, but you're just not perfect.
Amen, brother. That's right.
I love you. I believe you love God, but you're not perfect.
Amen.
Brother, I love you, but you're not perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Bobby, I love you.
Yeah.
Son, you've made some mistakes.
Yeah.
Brother Mitch, great fella, but you made some mistakes.
Yes.
But that's a two-way street, too.
Yes.
Yes.
I've made a bunch, too. Well, can I spend all my time talking about your mistakes and your faults and your shortcomings? About the best thing I can do is get over here in my prayer life and say, God, boy, Lord, I want you to bless Brother Paul today. Bless Brother Spire. Bless Brother Bob. Bless Brother Mitch. God, would you keep them? I plead the blood of Christ over those men that love you. God, those men you've raised to leadership, would you keep hell off their back? Oh, God, would you keep them from the from the temptations and the snares of the devil? God, would you strengthen them and give them wisdom? Oh, God, somehow keep them. When's the last time you went to your family, to your own private prayer closet, and you called your wife's name? When's the last time you got down in the floor and travailed in front of God for your husband? When's the last time you got down there and called your children by name? I'm not talking about when they're out in sin, 1,000 miles from God. I'm talking about when they're at church every Sunday, Wednesday night, vacation Bible school camp. I'm talking about holding them up, because that's the ones the devil wants, the ones that's in the church and doing good. He's already got that crowd in the world.
Yes.
He wants this under the arbor tonight more than he wants anything else. And we've got to worship, because if you doubt him, then when you start doubting, then you start pecking at each other.
No.
Pecking at each other. pecking at each other. I like to hunt. I love to fish. I love the outdoors. I got some friends that are bear hunters. I got some friends that are coon hunters. I think right up there with angels is a good pack of dogs on a trail. I do. I mean, you can go out 1-2 o'clock in the morning, hear a good set of dogs on the trail. My Lord in heaven, that just might run you wild. Hear old Blue up there on the lead, just talking. Well, that's music.
Amen.
But you take those dogs that are trained and bred to hunt. They're trained and bred for the journey. They got a task. They got a goal. Take them back down there at the house and pin them up. Put them in a little enclosure. And don't let them out to do what they're trained to do. To go out. You know what they'll start doing? They'll start biting and chewing on each other. They'll start fighting among themselves. Because they can't be out there on the trail. And when you turn inward over at the house of God and you don't reach out with a burden for lost souls and you get selfish with the gospel,
amen,
you'll start picking at each other.
Amen.
Your preacher couldn't do anything right if his name was Jesus. Because you're not on the trail. I was down in Mississippi preaching revival. I got a friend down there that raises catfish. He's got a bunch of catfish ponds and he's got 3 or 4 chicken houses. And we went over to his chicken house. And I said, how many chickens in here? He said, 55,000. I said, boy, that's a lot of chickens. That's a lot of fried chicken. And I said, there's been some days I believe I could eat every leg in here. And back that time we was talking, you know, that's about like going to heaven, getting in a chicken house. I mean, boy, for us weasels, boy, we like chicken houses. And I mean, and I was looking off, and all of a sudden here come a chicken walking by me. And the poor old thing was pecked to death. The feathers was out and its back was bloody. And I said, what happened to this fowl? He said, he had a spot on him. And said the chicken started pecking at him. And I said, well, he said, they'll peck it to death after they get started. They'll just keep pecking and pecking and pecking till they peck that chicken to death. And he said, if they start doing it, they'll go through the whole house. They'll start running. He said, notice some of them have on these little sunglasses. And I looked. And there sat a little red set of glasses on some of those chickens. So he said, we're starting to put glasses on them. He said, they can't see that spot. Because, he said, when they look through that red, that crimson.
Yeah, man.
I left the chicken house and him.
Yeah, man.
I had to tell him later what I got into. But when we got back together, I thought, isn't that a beautiful picture of the blood of Christ? When they put those red glasses on those chickens, they don't see that bloody spot on that other chicken. It just looks all white, like the feathers. And they quit picking. And what you've got to do is put the blood right here and quit picking and pecking at each other and start worshiping Him. If we're going to save our nation and save our homes. If God allows us tomorrow night, I want to bring a message. I don't know if the Lord allows us to bring it tomorrow night, but I've been praying all week long. But folks, we've got to have deliverance. And the only way it's going to come is for us to get back into worship. I had 9 men I wanted to go through with you tonight that saw Jesus and worshiped Him. 9's the fruit of the Spirit. And when you see Him, you'll bear fruit of seeing Him.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't have time to finish that tonight. I believe we've covered what God wanted us to cover. It's our horizontal relationships, our vertical relationships. We've got to come this way and get right to have everything right this way. You can't worship over at your church if you've got aught in your heart against somebody in the church.
That's
right. You just can't. You're too busy seeing them. You can't see Jesus. You need to put on those crimson glasses of the blood and say, but for the grace of God, there goes me. And worship Him.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about you, but I'd like to pray tonight. Ask God to let me worship Him.
Amen.
Wouldn't you?
Amen.
I want us to stand. If you'd like to come and pray, I want you to come and join these that are already in the altar. Just mind God. Maybe you and your wife have been having trouble. Maybe between the children. Maybe you got a problem at work. But let's come and see Him tonight. God didn't choose clouds to preach and trees. He chose men to live for Him. Men are going to have to worship Him. Just keep coming. That's right. Keep minding God. Just come on. Whatever the need, whatever the burden, I want you to come. Just worship Him. Have you gotten cold? Have you lost your first love? Brother Don is going to sing a verse. Whatever God's laid on his heart, I want you to just keep... That's right. Let Him out, folks. Let Him out. Use these front benches. Come on. This is for you. As He sings, you come.
Jesus is all.
Just keep coming.
The world.
Holy Spirit's here tonight.
To
heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Saints are praying. You come on.
My friend, in trials, soul.
This is for you. Come on.
And He gives them all.
Just keep coming.
And oh,
that's right. Just keep minding the Lord.
When I am sad,
that's right. Obedience
to Him, I go. No other friend and cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend.
Heavenly Father, as we come into Your presence tonight, we want to thank You for the privilege of prayer. We want to thank You, Father, that we can call upon You. Lord, we want to worship You tonight. God, we're tired of playing church. We're tired of playing religious. God, we're tired of being superficial in our walk. God, we're hungry tonight to worship You. We don't want to be doubters. God, we don't want to be looking at circumstance. God, we don't want to be watching other people. We want to worship You. And God, tonight You see this multitude of folks humbling themselves and praying. All over this arbor, God, You said if we confess our sins, if we confess our shortcomings, You're able and just to forgive all unrighteousness. I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that You'd touch each life that's represented, touch each home that's represented, touch each marriage that's represented. And I pray, God, tonight, we can begin to worship You. God, if there's someone at church that's been hindering us, God, if there's someone that's been bothering us, God, I pray tonight that we'd begin to look at them through the blood. God, I pray tonight if there's aught in our hearts and we've been bearing a grudge, Lord, we'd get it under the blood. Oh, God, if there's problem between husbands and wives, You'd mend it. Between parents and children, You'd mend it. Between in-laws and relatives, You'd mend it, God. Anything that would hinder us from worshiping You tonight, God, we want to see You tonight. God, help us through the blood of Christ to worship You here in spirit and in truth. Bind us together, Father. Bind us one to another. Bind us to the bleeding side of Christ. And God, we'll praise You and give You the glory for what You've done and for what You shall do. And God, we'll praise You. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah.